this city. Grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion. And to thee be all blessing and glory for ever. Amen.
I declare this meeting of the Council of the City of Perth open. Are there any apologies?
No, my Lord Mayor.
Are there any questions?
Yes, my Lord Mayor. Bear with me for a moment. The following questions have been received in advance of the Ordinary Council meeting tonight, and so I'll read them. A question from Peter Angier in relation to item 13.15 on the agenda, tender sweeping and degreasing of car parks. The question, will the Council please answer how the current holder of the sweeping and degreasing contract, brackets, and have done for the last 18 years, brackets, did not meet the selection criteria on the basis of not providing details of past contracts, whilst ISSS provided the City of Perth car park sweeping and degreasing contracts over the past 18 years as past experience. How is it that the panel came to the conclusion ISSS has only past experience in similar works? The answer, the current contract of sweeping and degreasing for City of Perth parking, bracket CPP, bracket, responded to all parts of the form of tender. However, they did not provide sufficient details relating to the selection criteria overall to achieve higher scores on evaluation. In the City's procurement process to maintain probity, submissions are evaluated on information provided to maintain a fair and equitable process for all tenderers. As documented in the request for tender documentation, the City requests tenderers note, colon, and inverted commas, tenderers are to assume that the City of Perth and any officers evaluating submissions have no prior knowledge of your organisation, activities or experience, close quote. The City assessment is also based on value for money as nominated in the business ethics of the tender, and the selected suppliers will provide the City with significant savings based on the information provided. Second set of questions are from Sandy Angie in relation to clause 1.1 of the recommendation in item 13.3, which is the Historic Heart Initiative. Okay, thank you, Mark. I'm advised Ms. Angie is here if she wishes to read the question into the record.
In relation to agenda item 13.3, Historic Heart Initiative, the first question is, has the Perth Public Art Foundation ever been required to execute a deed of indemnity with the City of Perth for a public art installation or event?
Thank you. The answer to the question is the Perth Public Art Foundation has board member indemnity insurance as well as public liability insurance and volunteer insurance. In the current principal partnership, the City of Perth and PPAF have entered, Perth Public Art Foundation, have entered into a partnership agreement that stipulates responsibility with regard to indemnity and staff. All artists commissioned by PPAF must have public liability also, public liability insurance, to the value of $20 million. Insurance for artists is available at minimal cost through ArtSource. That's a sell.
The second question was, has any other not-for-profit organisation ever been required to execute a deed of indemnity with the City of Perth for a public art installation or event?
Whether the concept is a private event or one that is accessible to the public, if the event will take place within the City of Perth's boundary, an event permit is required, which will outline site-specific information, regulation and any other approval required. In terms of events, all events must hold a public liability insurance policy with a limit of indemnity not to be lower than $10 million. When public arts and activation events are commissioned by the City and the industry, public liability insurance is required. This is usually set at not less than $20 million in the arts area. Public liability insurance is required irrespective of being a not-for-profit group, usually presented as a certificate of currency.
May I just seek clarification, because the question related to whether there was a deed of indemnity, not about insurance?
To clarify, there's no deed per se, but the agreement is under a separate form, and as I've explained in the answer, those are the limits set.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any... That's sorry, the end of the questions. Are there any members on leave of absence or requests of leave?
Yes, Lord Mayor. I will be away from 15th to 18th of September, inclusive.
Okay. We'll just do this and then we'll come back to the other questions. Sorry, say the dates again.
15th to 18th. September.
September. Okay. Any other requests for leave of absence? Okay. So we're going to move that. Councillor Davidson
moved.
Second. Seconded Councillor Adamos. All in favour of that leave of absence? Carried unanimously. Sorry, I jumped the gun. There is a question, a late question from...
Sorry, Lord Mayor. Question received at 5:58pm, I believe. And the question is for an ordinary council meeting of this evening from Mr Terry Mallor of 70 Godric Street, East Perth, and Sylvester myself. The question is, in recent times in mainstream and social media, free parking has been proposed by some councillors to assist small business. All the economic indicators point to a general downturn in turnover due to low consumer confidence and stagnant wage growth, not only in the city but in the suburban malls as well. And the questions, I believe, are, have the administration been presented with any evidence that free parking will help alleviate the situation? The answer to that is no verifiable evidence at this point. Question two, have the administration conducted any assessment as to the financial cost to the council of such a move? The answer to that question is yes, and that some information, again, not verifiable, but an estimate has been provided to councillors. However, that information remains commercial in confidence to CPP. Third, have the administration conducted a survey of the numbers using the city's car parks on weekdays and weekends? Again, the answer is yes, and that information is generally available to council administration, but again, issued in restricted form only if permitted under freedom of information due to its commercial in confidence nature. Fourth, a petition has been put forward in support of free parking in one particular street in East Perth. Have the signatures been verified by council? The answer to that is no.
Right, okay. That's the end of the questions. So we will now go to item 6, confirmation of the minutes of the ordinary meeting, which was held on the 1st of August. Is there a mover?
Move.
Councillor Davidson.
Seconded.
Councillor Adamos. All in favour? Carried unanimously. Disclosure of members' interests. Are there any that need declaring?
Yes, Lord Mayor. I have an impartiality interest. I know one of the applicants for Caballito's Bar.
Okay, what item number is that, please?
13.6.
13.6, thank you.
Lord Mayor, could I ask a question?
Yes.
Could I ask a question of the Manager of Governance? All of the councillors would know many of the applicants for the business grants. Is it necessary for us to declare an interest? Mark, I understand you have, for example, a long-term friendship with an applicant. That makes sense. But all of us in our role as councillors would meet with business owners. So what's the required extent? Because it seems excessive.
Through the Chair, it's entirely at the discretion of the person wishing to make that disclosure. When it is a disclosure of impartiality, the assessment can be based on the merits of the individual and how much they wish to disclose. And I too note my own impartiality interest in respect to item 13.6.
I'm going to jump in there and suggest an explanation. I think if you know them as stakeholders, no impartiality is required. If you see them socially, then I would suggest an impartiality acknowledgement is required.
Thank you.
Okay.
I have a question for the Manager of Governance as well. I have a commercial property on Royal Street in East Perth, so will I need to declare an impartiality or a financial interest?
Through the Chair, that would be a proximity interest in respect to that item.
Okay, I'd like to declare a proximity interest for item parking one, which was 813, I think it was. 13.18, thank you.
So 13.18 is now a proximity interest for Councillor Adamos. Any others? Okay, item 9, are there any questions of which notice has been given?
No, Lord Mayor.
Any correspondence?
No, Lord Mayor.
Okay, any petitions?
No, Lord Mayor.
Any items for which the meeting will be closed?
Yes, Lord Mayor. In accordance with Section 5.23, Subsection 2 of the Local Government Act, etc., items 13.6, 13.9, 0.15, 0.16, 0.21, 0.22, 0.23 or 0.24, is recommended that Council resolve to close the meeting prior to their discussion. The attachments are a confidential attachment 13.6A, 13.9A, 13.9B, 15A, 15B and 15C, 16A, 21C, 22A, I believe it's 22B, there's a misprint in the agenda, and 22C, 23A and 23B, also 24A and 24B. I note that I read these for the audio, and as I say, it is recommended that should Council wish to discuss those items or the attachments, that Council resolves to close the meeting.
Okay, that takes us to the items on the white pages. Item 13.1, 108 St George's Terrace, Perth. Is there a mover, please?
I'll move that, Lord Mayor.
Councillor McAvoy, seconder.
I'll second that, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Adamos, do you wish to open the debate, Councillor McAvoy?
Yes, Lord Mayor. This is another one of the, going back to probably the 80s when everybody built fairly high, used all their plot ratio, so then they couldn't put a nice cafe in the bottom. So this is basically what this is about. They just want, we're happy to do this.
Okay.
And let them have something in the bottom.
I have a question to the administration. Is this a retrospective approval tonight?
I'm not aware they've already put the chairs and tables out.
I thought so. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
So do you wish to second, No. Does anyone else wish to speak to this item? I'm going to put item one, all in favour, carried unanimously. Item 13.2, advocacy for extended cat bus operations. Mover?
I'll move that,
Councillor McAvoy, seconder.
I'll second that, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Adamos, do you wish to open?
Yes, Lord Mayor. I think we should have a long, hard think about renewing this. I have a very, very strong problem with the cat bus and the way that they're, the charges that we're having to pay for them. The Perth parking levy. I mean, this is such a... It really affects our whole city. You know, when you talk about free parking, how can you give free parking when you've got this? I mean, we paid $17 million to the government this year, and it was... And it's about $1,088 per bay this year. Lord Mayor, I just think it's totally inadequate. It's got to be looked at. And my personal feeling is, why would we negotiate extra hours when we can't negotiate at least a lowering of this fee? At least a lowering, if not, you know, abandon it for 12 months and give us a little bit of relief. I can remember when it first came in, and I'm sure it was about $9,000 when it first came in, and now we're paying $19,000. It's quite amazing. So I'd just be very wary about extending the hours of the CATS bus.
Okay, anyone else wishing to speak to this item?
Lord Mayor, a question for the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
CEO, are you aware whether or not yourself or the Director of Planning, for example, have had direct meetings or advocacy with the Department of Transport around the extension of CAT bus services, and in particular, have we asked for or secured a spot at a committee or a working group that would oversee the future delivery of CAT services in the city?
Through the Chair, I can verify you did ask me that question some time ago, Councillor, and I did then refer to the Manager of Transport Area, and he advised me there was no specific CAT-related working group, but there was in fact a Central Area Transport Group on which we sit and to which we advocate through office at officer level. That said, it's officer level, and the officers through the Director and reports to Council seek endorsement from Council of those views to be put at those places. And perhaps for further detail, I don't know if the Director of Planning has any more detail on that.
Do you wish to speak further?
No, that's correct. Yeah, we're on an overall group for the transport, and we do put up our recommendations through Council before we go back to those groups on how that money is spent as well to do the parking levy.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Just a comment. I do support extended CAT bus services in the city. I believe that their current hours are too low. I am cynical about the use of the money. I'd love to see open books from the Department of Transport because the Department of Transport, or you know, the state treasury receives a huge amount of money from us as well as private operators in the city, which are given to this fund for cap bus services, but I think from time to time used for other purposes. So I'd love to see open books. I think that's only fair, given that we're contributing all of this money, and I think that we should be lobbying for that very strongly. You know, if we could have a better sense of the amount that is earned by the state government through this levy and then the amount spent and invested into the future or squirreled away perhaps for other purposes and built up for other reasons, then we'd have a really clear picture of whether or not we and the private owners in the city were getting value for money. At the moment, without that transparency, we can't make that assessment. Having said that, I think that they're probably underspending, and so therefore we should be demanding extended services, but no increase in the fee. That would mean that we're getting better value for money. So if we can see the cap bus service extended into the evenings, if we can see the services made more frequent, then that's a better outcome for the city, and one that I think all of our business operators and residents would support. But we need that transparency from the state government to ensure that the funds are being used appropriately.
Yes.
I had a question. I raised an email to the CEO inbox asking about whether the cat bus could be extended to around Aberdeen Street. And the response that I received from the administration said that, noting that the cat bus runs along Aberdeen between Beaufort and Shenton, an extension further along would require council support so that the city can then formally advocate the extension of this service area. And they also said that we are aware of the request from local people. And I did reply to that asking, is the administration going to put this proposal to committee, recognising that the residents are requesting this? I sent that on the 22nd of August and haven't received a reply yet. Noting, of course, that we are supposed to receive responses from the inbox within 5 days. But I just wanted to find out, what actually are the representatives from the City of Perth advocating to the state government?
Okay. Did you get the question at the end?
Through the chair, I mean, operational discussions are had. Advocacy is council. So, again, this is seeking endorsement of an advocacy position, and we bring back to council what information we can. I personally have advocated to the Department of Transport Director General for a broad view, if you like, of the situation of funding and of the bus network generally. I think in the last 24 months or more, we've put several positions on the table in terms of public transport. To enunciate here every aspect operationally and otherwise that we put on the table and discuss with transport would be difficult. I note you've submitted a question on the 22nd of August. You've noted 5 days have elapsed. I think it's today, day six. Apologise for that if that's the case, but certainly we'll get an answer, a fulsome answer to you in that process.
So you wish to speak now?
Yeah, so just to clarify, I raised the original request on the 9th of August, and I was hoping to get this information in advance of the meeting today, but notwithstanding that, it says that the operating time, the administration is seeking council support through the planning committee to advocate for extending the operating hours of the CAT services. Is that what we are being asked to look at right now? Or, because what I understand is that there are additional requests that the councillors are referring to, and these are not being articulated in this motion.
Well, through the chair, you've got me on detail, because I'd have to refer back to the director and the manager in respect to the detail of what's discussed with the department. That said, the recommendation on the table is the recommendation, and it's council's prerogative to add or subtract from that.
Okay.
Tia, just a question.
Yep.
Were councillors provided with the Central Area Transport Plan drafted in January 2017? Were we provided with that as part of the deliberations? Or is that a document unknown to us?
Through the chair, I believe this was discussed at committee, so I'd have to defer. I was not present at committee, so can I defer to the director on that?
I don't think you have to. If you look at the top of page 9, it says, to date, there has been no commitment to the above-mentioned CAT priority actions.
But so what are the actions?
Yeah, what are the actions? I agree with you there.
You haven't extended
So we haven't provided it a copy this time. We've provided it previously where we provided comment back on it, but I can recirculate that document.
Okay, that answers the question. Councillor Green's finished speaking. You've spoken.
I just have a further question.
Can I clarify perhaps the response to that? As I recall, I'm coming from memory here, the Central Area Transport Plan, I think, was presented to Council when it was brought down by the State. I believe that it is in an iteration that was prepared by the former administration, shall we say, and it contained commitments and plans that perhaps haven't come to fruition. So we can arrange to have that recirculated, but I believe it was briefed at the time it was released by State Government.
Okay. Who wishes to speak next? Anybody?
I'll close the debate.
No, I'm going to speak. That's okay. I feel great concern about all aspects of this CAT service. Councillor McAvoy has already elaborated on the fact that this is a big cost to City of Perth property owners and the City of Perth Council in terms of having to pay for every on and off street bay. We alone spend about $17 million per annum or give $17 million per annum to the state government, and I think the stakeholders around the city would be giving, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars a year to ostensibly run the CAT bus. I do believe some 18 years on, it's necessary to revisit the priority actions of what the CAT bus is achieving. We know it's a great service. It's an award-winning service. Is it actually mitigating short car trips around the city, which was its intended original purpose? I query that. We all want to see an extension of the services to provide transportation into different precincts at night time. We would also like to see a broadening of the base, but you know, I bet my last dollar that the collar councils around would not necessarily be wanting to pay a levy, and we would have a huge discussion on our hands if that ensued. But at the same time, as Councillor McAvoy and I often discuss, there is an extension of the Green CAT at the moment into the City of Vincent, and that's not being funded by anyone other than us, ostensibly. So it is an unlevel playing field at the moment. It's a grave area of concern, and we know that CAT, standing for Central Area Transport, the legislation is actually enables the state government to use the money for the new bus port, for part of the new stadium bridge. So again, should the ratepayer be funding that infrastructure? It should be the taxpayer who is funding that infrastructure. And I think we need to go back to the drawing board and have a new revision and a discussion of this legislation to enable City of Perth stakeholders to level the playing field. I'm finished if you would like to close the debate.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Yes, I very much agree. I just want to remind people that when it was first initiated...
Point of order, I didn't speak. I only asked two questions.
Apologies. Okay, so you'd already started closing the debate. I did not see your light on. So I'll defer to... Yeah, you can ask a question if you're happy to... Are you happy to hold your closing? You've got, you know, I've got to see the lights. That, you know, I can only go by it. So ask your question. Councillor McAvoy has acceded to that.
Thank you. I feel like we're not really approaching this CAT bus in a very strategic fashion. It feels pretty ad hoc, and we're doing one thing and another, and we don't actually have a clear position internally. And so can we organise a workshop and also engagement to find out what the community wants and what we actually would like to advocate to the state government in terms of specifics for the CAT.
That request you could have made after the meeting to the CEO. Thank you. We will look into that. I agree with you. It's necessary. Continue closing your debate, Councillor Mayor.
Okay, Lord Mayor. As I was saying, Councillor Davidson may remember as well when this was first set up. Councillor Stroud was put on that thing, and we had a representative on that, and they met, I think, every month.
They did.
And there was a strong debate that was very specific as to where the money went. I mean, at that stage it was to be put into new CATS buses, and they were to be the ones that they first started off with, but that didn't end up. I think you could do a roundabout so they could get round. But there was very specific ways in which they could use that. So hence my concern. I believe there's $30 million sitting in there, and I just don't want to see that disappear into the budget and the whatever. That is my concern, similar to Councillor Harley's. And also, I think you may have mentioned about the stakeholders and the money. Well, we wouldn't really know what money they pay. You know, ours is $17 million. Theirs could well be double that. I don't know, triple. Yes. So, you know, just bear that in mind. This is not just us having to pay that money. It's our major groups that have parking below their buildings. Everybody gets a hit, and it's a very, very hard one. I was called up to West Perth one day. This gentleman up there owned a little property, but he had four bays. So he'd got his first account in, about from us paying for the thing, and he couldn't believe it because he'd never had it before and he never knew what it was about. But that's who it affects. It affects little people and it affects the big people. I'll close now.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to put that all in favour. Carried unanimously. Item 13.3, Historic Heart Inc. Initiative. Is there a mover?
So I'll move that.
Second.
Councillor Linios, second to Councillor Harley. Please open the debate.
Yeah, I would like to ask a question. With regards to item 1.1, the deed of indemnity, is there not any chance that we can, instead of having this formal deed of indemnity, just request from this not-for-profit group to have public liability insurance like we do for everybody else? So it's not that onerous and legalistic. So I'm just wondering whether we can have that requirement.
Okay.
Through the chair, I understand the proposal here from the administration is that we prepare a simple document without necessarily recourse to great legal expense. So it's merely an agreement. The word deed perhaps gives it some additional weight, but the intention was to set up an agreement where liability was clear.
Yeah, so is it possible to just call it the public liability, that the proponents agree to provide public liability insurance, to the city satisfaction, just like everybody else? Just to keep it just looks like something that's trying to become a lot more than what it is.
Through the chair, the requirement for a deed, we're proposing that be produced in-house through our paralegal, so there's no cost to the not-for-profit, and it is basically looking at a period of time rather than what a public liability insurance would be, that could lapse over two periods of time through certificates of insurance. So the deed actually sets a time frame for it.
Can we not have ensure in our discussions with them, the light discussions, that we have them every year renewing their policy, just like...
Through the chair, in response, as you would know, being in the industry, when someone holds public liability insurance, you rely upon them to keep their premiums paid.
Yes, that's right.
Therefore, all we would ask as the administration is that we execute a form of agreement where there is certainty that the liability is that the insurance or whatever mechanism is employed is maintained for the term of the agreement between the parties. So I think in terms of the wording, as long as council is happy that we have executed a binding agreement which cannot fail due to non-payment by a party of a premium, then the administration would be satisfied with that, I believe, Mark. It would be appropriate.
Okay. What is the best way to alter the wording to reflect that?
Through the chair, I'm struggling to understand the objection to the word deed of indemnity. Is that the objection, or is it objection to the clause in toto, or the fact that there's liability or indemnity covered?
No, there's no. It's just coming across as a lot stronger request from this particular group than what we do to others, and I'm just wanting to make sure that we reflect the spirit and intention that you described earlier.
Okay.
In this document, so there's no confusion in the future that, you know, because some people might interpret it as a lot harder, others could interpret it softer when we're creating it.
Through the chair, can I propose, therefore, that through the execution of an appropriate agreement or mechanism, meets the city's satisfaction in respect to the indemnification or indemnifying release the city against all liability, etc. So take out the words deed of indemnity and providing an agreement or mechanism to the city's satisfaction.
So is that an alternative motion? An amendment? Sorry, it's an amendment.
That's an I'm just proposing that a motion.
Councillor Limnios has already moved the motion. Now.
Yeah, because Councillor Limnios has already moved it, it would need to be moved by someone else.
Comments, in particularly in relation to this
one. Ask a question.
Okay. Later on I make a comment. Okay. I cannot ask a question.
Right. Okay. So I'm looking to anyone to formalise the amendment that has been flagged by Councillor Limnios because he's moved it, come up with the idea, but because he's moved it, he can't make the amendment himself. I think everyone understands
I'm
it. So you're happy to
move
do that?
An amendment.
Okay, so Councillor Harley, do you wish to speak to that? Is there a second of
Sorry, Lord Mayor, Councillor Harley seconded the original motion.
Oh, he did too, you're right, sorry. So you did second the main motion.
I'll propose an amendment to the
Green will do it. Is there a seconder to Councillor Green? That lapses, so it goes back to the main motion. I think you're best to speak to your main motion now and go from there.
Okay. I would like to congratulate the proponents of this, albeit that it's taken over a year to get to this stage. Where I was coming from before was that the 1.1 was reflecting a lot stronger requirement from us than what we do for other not-for-profits or artistic groups. So I was trying to soften it and make it more in line with what the spirit and intention is, as per the CEO's comments. But obviously there's been a long time to get to this point, and possibly this is the best that we can do. I would like to, fully support this initiative, and it shows that the willingness of the private sector to step in and step up to the plate and add value to our capital city to improve areas that are really not the way they should be for a capital city, to make them more inviting and a lot easier to navigate through and sort of interesting. So, that's all I have to say.
Okay, Councillor Harley's got his light on.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'd just like to open by congratulating Mr Finney, the man behind the idea for the Historic Heart Inc. Concept, and also to congratulate Ms Angie, who's in attendance tonight, for her work. It is a shame that it's taken 14 months for a not-for-profit organisation who was bringing money to the table and had sourced $250,000 from the previous state government for us to basically let them do good things for the city. I understand that cities are complex and we need to move through some planning processes and we need to ensure that the public are not harmed, but I think it is a good example of some of the red tape that does exist in the building. I've sat with the proponents and various other people and business owners and spoken about this. It shouldn't be this hard to do good things in the city. I do want to commend the idea. I think that it's quite clear to everyone that this precinct of the city, these key blocks in particular, but the 8 full blocks that are the focus of Historic Heart Inc., really do need some TLC. From the city, we have made some investments in the area, most notably the library. However, the streetscape in the precinct is really quite lacking, and I think now that obviously the Western Hotel will be refurbished and constructed, and we're seeing the refurbishment of some other buildings in the precinct, we should see some new vitality. But there is a perception that this part of the city has been a little bit overlooked while we've been focusing on other precincts of the city, and while the state government's been focusing on Elizabeth Quay and Yagan Square and others. So the initiative of planter boxes, artists commissioned to decorate those planter boxes and increase street furniture in the precinct is relatively simple and straightforward and should be supported, I believe, by the council. But what's most important, I think, is to recognise that this is quite a unique situation where a not-for-profit organisation has come to the party as, I guess, a managing organisation to raise private funds from building owners as well as raising some funds from the state for an initiative that benefits the entire city and the precinct. That's quite a good precedent to set, and I'd like to see this kind of approach taken in other precincts of the city as it is in cities internationally. I think of, parks in New York City, for example, that are run by not-for-profits owned by the city but managed, and they're the most beautiful and fantastic parks in New York other than Central Park. So the initiative and the concept and the approach and the model is great. There have been some problems, I guess, or there have been some teething issues, let's say, to get this idea to this point. And hopefully Historic Heart have blazed the trail, which other organisations can follow as we look to activate other precincts of the city that desperately need it. So with those words, I'd like to commend the motion. Thank you.
Okay, any other speakers? Councillor Chen.
Yes. In relation to the deed of indemnity, I think if a city has a precedent of execution of agreement between city and the non-for-profit organisation, then go ahead. I got no problem. And then I think not the usual practice in the private practice is to have indemnity insurance or public liability insurance, but include the city of Perth as the policy, core policy holder. This is good enough, and the city can ask for the period of time for the insurance. So not necessarily you must execute a deed of indemnity or agreement. So it's a very easy way to move forward. This is my comments and recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Chen. Do you wish... Yes,
thank you, Lord Mayor. Yeah, just a couple of comments. This is a great initiative. We was very supportive of it at the Planning Committee. The administration is supportive of it, and hopefully tonight most of the councillors will be supportive as well. Some of the comments made about the length of time for this to actually... come to fruition, I think it's a touch harsh. This is probably the first time in the city where we've had a private developer dealing with a public realm. So given there's the issue there...
Sorry, Lord Mayor, it's not a private developer. It is a not-for-profit.
You're interrupting, so do you have a point of order?
Yeah, that is the point of order.
Well, what is reference to standing orders?
Oh, reference to standing orders is 8.2.
I can withdraw that, Lord Mayor, that's fine.
Because it's not a private developer.
Not-for-profit, but it's a separate organisation outside the City of Perth's control, so to speak, that is dealing with public realm, and that's the point I'm trying to make here. So given that, it has taken some time, I understand that, but as I said, this is the first time we've had this situation where a different organisation other than the City of Perth is dealing with the public realm. So the public realm is exactly that, it's the public realm. I understand 1.1, we discussed that at the committee. I can't see what the issue is for that one, but I'm very supportive of the whole exercise over in the Eastern End.
Lord Mayor, I have a question.
Yes.
A question for the CEO. Is it the CEO's understanding that this is the first time that a not-for-profit organisation has partnered with the city to deliver something in the public realm, for example, the commissioning of private statues, for example, the commissioning of the Alexander Forrest statue on the corner of the street, or the, many other statues and other pieces of public art throughout the city that have been paid for and commissioned by not-for-profit organisations?
Through the chair, it's the first time in my tenure, and as you may note, several things being done differently under my tenure, and that is about holding the city free from risk that it heretofore may have entered into.
Okay. Does anyone else wish to speak on this item? Councillor Davidson.
Yes, thank you, Lord Mayor. Yes, I've got no problem with the initiative. I think in terms of the deed of indemnity, I think we've had a fairly definite explanation from the manager of governance. That's obviously what we're trying to do is enunciate a simplicity with the agreement or mechanism with the organisation, which obviously will be prepared by in-house. So I don't think that's going to be an issue overall, and a lot of people have obviously, I think, understood that as it was explained. Thank you.
Okay, I would like to make a comment. I want to go back and just give a little bit of history on the east end of the city in regards to the landlocked situation it found itself in. I won't name the gentleman. I remember his name very clearly. He was a transport planner in the 90s who actually, you remember, who actually, through the changes to the directional flow of traffic, basically locked off the east end of the city. And I think that has done more detriment to the East End than a lot of the private property owners neglect, although that's quite apparent in some parts of the East End as well. I do commend the initiative because what I see with this not-for-profit is an ability to encourage the landowners in the East End to look at upgrading their property and to not be remiss in appreciating their responsibility. A city or a local government can only do so much, and our responsibility is to the public realm. We cannot spend ratepayers' money on private property. It is up to the city to work with a group such as this one and meet in the middle, so to speak. I believe that we are meeting in the middle quite well, and I believe there will be a very nice dovetailing because of the commitment we've made to the... I just have to get the correct name of our strategic vision for the East End. What's it called? The where we're spending all that money, the document.
The East End. So we're doing the two-way street program.
Yeah, the two-way street programming and the capital commitment that we've made to that part of the city, which is going to see a lot of tree planting. There had been a lot of criticism from this council, and I see it was also upheld in the recent city summits as a concern for that area to not have enough canopy cover. So I'm really heartened to see that we can have, along with the ephemeral art installations proposed by this, some more permanent installations of trees, and I think over time this will be a very nice thing to see move together. I don't share the concern on the deed. I think Mark Ridgewell's reply that it was an in-house paralegal situation really allayed any concerns that I had. Equally, I share Councillor Adamos's comments about this being a teething issue. We haven't had a bid, business investment district approach to this, and I remember speaking in one of the very first meetings with Ms. Angie and Mr. Finney about this process. As I think one of the councillors tonight said, there are many of them in other parts of the world, and this is the first one we've had in a while. The previous one we had was actually not to do with artworks. It was actually to do with Central City Marketing. It did crash and burn because ultimately the private stakeholders did not continue with their commitment to funding. But I would hope that the private stakeholders will see that we can meet in the middle, as I've said, with the commitment that the City of Perth has made to the public realm. I know that our communication department have just finished a document. It's a A4 flyer that is, if it's not already sent out to the East End, it's about to be, and it gives the dollar for dollar expenditure that the City of Perth will be committing over the next few years, and from memory it was something like $14 million. So we are certainly backing this project in more ways than just a support of this item tonight. We're also putting significant injection of capital to the tune of $14 million into that precinct over the next few years. Does anyone else wish to speak, or does Councillor Limnios wish to close the debate? Yes?
No, that's fine. Okay. I'll close the debate.
Okay, I'm going to put that all in favour. Carried unanimously. Item 13.4, which is proposed entry of 317 to 323 Wellington Street, Perth, in the city.
Second,
Lord Mayor. Councillor Harley is moving. Seconder is Councillor Adamos. Do you wish to open the debate?
Thanks, Lord Mayor.
What a wonderful building. Obviously the old Wellington Army surplus is dear to the hearts of many people in Perth, but the building's fallen into a pretty sad state with graffiti on the upper levels in recent years, and obviously there was a reason. The business is moving out, and councillors have been made aware that there are some pretty exciting plans for the block. Those plans are confidential at the moment, but they've been submitted to the council, and it will see a really fantastic, huge investment of money, you know, residential accommodation facility on the site. And so to have this building heritage listed and protected and restored, which I hope is the plan, will be a great win for the city. Thanks.
Yeah. No. Sorry, did I turn that off? 13.5, initiation of proposed amendments to local planning scheme.
I'll move that, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Adamos moving, seconder.
Councillor
McAvoy, do you wish to open the debate?
Just a couple of comments, Lord Mayor. This is just to rectify an anomaly up in the Constitution Hill area over in East Perth. We saw a planning application come to us a few months back where there were some issues about that and about whether the area was normalised in the design guidelines. So this is really just to rectify one of the areas that was missed at that time.
Okay, no other lights on. I'm going to put that all in favour. Carried unanimously. 13.6, business improvement grants.
I move, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Chen moving, seconded. Councillor Yong. Do you wish to discuss it? No, I agree. I'll put that all in favour. Carried unanimously. 13.7, annual arts sponsorship for Pride.
Councillor Davidson.
Seconded, Councillor Chen. Do you wish to discuss this? No, I'm going to put that all in favour. Carried unanimously. 13.8, annual arts sponsorship for Blue Room Theatre. Is there a mover?
Yes, Lord Mayor.
Seconder.
Seconding, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Adamos. Do you wish to discuss this? I'm going to put that all in favour. Carried unanimously. 13.9, annual event sponsorship West Coast Fever. Mover.
I move, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Chen moving. Seconder. For discussion even. Councillor Yong. Okay, do you wish to open the debate, Councillor Chen?
I believe for these ones is like a White Cat event, and then the West Coast Fever, the move from Claremont to the city, and I think is we needed to encourage and to support. And previous years we supported already over 100,000, and this time we increased it to 120,000, and they have sponsorship from the state government department, and yes, this is a good initiative for them to move to the arena. I encourage the council to support. Thank you.
Just a question, Lord Mayor. This is a sponsorship for 1 year with no further necessary commitments year after.
I'll refer that to Director.
Madam Chair, yes.
Okay, 1 year, yes. Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak on this item?
Lord Mayor, thank you. It's quite a lot of money for a sports event held at the arena. Like, it's a lot of money. So I feel a bit uneasy about it. I have to accept the officer's advice that the economic impact for the city is substantial. We also have to accept the data collection from last year that the return on revenue in city car parks noticed through a marked increase in visitation to the adjacent car parks and the Elder Street and His Majesty's was quite significant, perhaps in fact paying for the sponsorship. But it is still quite a lot of money, and I believe that a netball event held at the arena is great, but they should be looking to the Department of Sports and Rec and to corporate sponsors for that sponsorship. I will support this motion this year, but I'm probably not inclined to support a similar motion next year. I think that the organisation needs to quickly understand that the City of Perth is a better venue than Claremont, much better venue. The arena's a superior venue, it's enclosed, so they can have it in all weather, and the amenity here is much, much better. I hope that these two contributions this year and last year have convinced them of that. They've been able to test out the city. I hope they enjoy it. But I think that they should look to other sponsorship in future years. Thanks.
Just a question to you. I'm sensing in you some concern about the amount and the, you know, why the city should be asked to fund this. If all we are getting is parking revenue and we're not sure of that, are you concerned that there should be a requirement for them to have gone to the state government first?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I did ask in the briefing session earlier what was the actual impact on parking revenue to the city. There is a representation of a percentage increase, but I'm not sure that we were able to determine what exactly that was in dollar terms. I'm also not sure whether or not West Coast Fever have received significant sponsorship from the state, but I assume that the state government, Department of Sports and Rec, would be a contributor. So while we don't have all of that information at hand, I am still prone to support the event and the sponsorship this year, but with a clear understanding that it probably won't be the way that I vote in future years. So.
Thank you. Okay, does anyone else wish to speak to this item? Okay, so Councillor Chen, do you wish to close the debate?
Nothing further.
Nothing further. Okay, I'm going to put this. All in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 13.10, payments from municipal and trust funds, July.
Move, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Davidson Lord Mayor.
Moving. Second, Councillor Harley.
I'd like to open the debate, Lord Mayor, because we're looking at a fairly big figure here of $36 million, but if I could refer to page 185, when we talk about, you know, the city's commitment, really we're looking at nearly $18 million to the Commissioner of State Revenue, the 2017-18 Perth parking licence fees. So no small commitment on our part for off-street and on-street parking facilities, and we have had the item already where it is obvious that on that commitment there is no doubt in my mind that the city needs to have a very frank conversation as regards what is occurring with the CATS and the monies within that. And I know Councillor McAvoy's referred to a possible quite a big dollar figure that could still be sitting there that really isn't being used for the CATS. So I think that needs to be very much highlighted on this particular item.
Okay. No other comments? I'm going to put that. All in favour? Carried and duly noted. 13.11, financial statements and activity for the period ended 30 June. Councillor Davidson moving.
Second, Lord Mayor.
Seconded, Councillor Harley. Any discussion? I'll put that. All in favour? Carried unanimously. 13.12, statements and activity for the period 31 July. Councillor Davidson moving. Councillor Harley seconding. I'll put that. All in favour? Carried unanimously. 13.13, annual budget for 17-18, and it's a revised capital budget. Is there a mover? Councillor Davidson. Seconder?
Seconding. Lord Mayor.
Seconder is Councillor Chen. Do you wish to discuss this? Nope.
Yes, question.
Councillor Harley.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. A question for the CEO or the Director of Finance. In this budget, could you please point councillors to the item that's referred to further in the agenda, the $850,000 council house refurbishment works? Is that included in this revised capital budget, or are these just the carry forwards from last year to this year?
Through the chair, I understand it's carry forwards. Robert,
perhaps. Yes, I can answer that question, councillor. This is just relating to the carry forward item. So the item you've referred to is disclosed in our current budget as a $1.5 million total line item.
Okay. No more? Okay. No other ones speaking? Okay, I'm going to put that. All in favour? Carried unanimously. 13.14, telethon event for October this year. Councillor Davidson moving.
Second,
Councillor Adamos. I'll put that. All in favour? Carried unanimously. 13.15.
Move that, Lord Mayor.
Please all show your hands clearly, I'm told by the Governance Manager when I ask you to vote. Item 13.15, tender for sweeping and degreasing of services. Mover?
I'll move that, Lord Mayor.
Seconded, Councillor Davidson, I've seen. All in favour? Thank you. Carried unanimously. 13.16, tender for office refurbishment Council House. Mover?
Move.
Councillor Davidson. Seconded, Councillor Chen. Any speakers? No.
Yes, Lord Mayor.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. We did discuss this item a bit at the Finance and Administration Committee. of course. I've had some further thoughts about it, and I'm not comfortable supporting the item at the moment. As it stands, I understand that it is a tenure. I understand that there was $1.5 million set aside in the budget, but frankly, I think the expenditure of $874,000 to renovate offices within Council House so that we can accommodate all of the extra staff that we've recently employed is actually not a good use of ratepayer funds. I think that we should make do with the furniture that we have at the moment, and we should find ways to accommodate staff within our existing offices. I just think that it is a huge sum of money for us to be spending on these offices, and I have not been convinced that it's actually necessary spending. I would like to see the balance of what is considered essential spending, i.e., you know, layout changes, extra desks, as opposed to the amount of money that's spent on aesthetics, like, for example, you know, a beautiful big marble reception desk on level one for planning or various other kind of facilities that we're providing and aesthetics that we're providing in the offices, or, you know, what exactly is the cost of the furniture. I just have not been convinced in the report that I've read and the discussion at Finance and Admin that it's a good use of money. I think it's a lot of money, and we should be provided with more information before we make these decisions in the future.
Do you want to comment?
Through the chair, I can comment. The predominant expenditure is planned for the ground floor, which is the public-facing facility. It's not had a substantial refit in recent times, but that's about reconfiguring the ground floor. So I'm advised by Director of Construction and Maintenance that the lion's share of the money will go toward the ground floor, which will be the customer service centre, and enhancement of security for the public administration and council interface. That said, there is, I believe, some money in there for what I would call reallocation, if you like, of partitioning. I'd like to pick up the comment you made about a lot of money. If council recalls some time ago, and I think on my joining the city about 4 or so years ago, there was a program to spend $1 million per floor on the council house in the order of $10 million over a period. I recall one of the floors proposed was the sixth floor, which I halted at that time. That has not received further refurb since that time. Neither have many of the floors, other than to have received some gyprock partitioning and moving existing partitioning, and neither has new or expensive or beautiful furniture been acquired in that last 5 years. So I would advise council, I believe we've been quite respectful of the finances of the ratepayers. We have put forward, again, respectfully, this money, which is $800,000 to do a significant refit to accommodate the reconfiguration of the service delivery. All these extra staff, in effect, they're not great numbers of additional staff. As you know, we've gone through a process where a significant number of staff have departed and some have joined. So in terms of additional staff, that is very much the minor component of the cost. That said, I'm more than happy to go through each of the layouts with council if need be. I'm not aware of any particular expenditure on an aesthetic, other than, as I say, particularly at the ground floor, which will require a level of input in that respect for the public-facing facility. Again, I'm happy to go through
that's
it with council.
Thank you, CEO. I just have one further question through the chair. One of the expenses that's been pulled out, for example, is recarpeting level six. Fine, it's $80,000, it's not a lot, but the rest of that money has not been described. So the ground floor, as I walk into it, is a beautiful palatial space. You know, it's gilt with marble. It is quite a luxurious space. I understand that we're putting some more focus on service delivery and, you know, the call centre aspect. So I'd like to understand a bit more, perhaps if you have the information at hand, as to what we would be doing on the ground floor.
Through the chair, I can provide that in detail with the layout. In respect to palatial, that's the original heritage base finish. We maintain that to the level as appropriate. As you're aware, the building was completely refurbished at a time some decades ago, and asbestos removed, concrete cancer removed. I believe the expenditure is in the order of $90-odd million. So we do have, obviously, an obligation to maintain the building to a level expected of a heritage building. That said, happy to provide the layout. The layout is about the configuration of the public-facing space. At the moment, you might notice the concierge sits on a stool in a very small area. That is starting to show as being inadequate, both for security but also for the accommodation of the officers. We can go through the customer service approach. I think we've briefed council in the past how we are reducing the 25,000 contact points with the city down to the irreducible minimum so that we get a much better triage of customer inquiries or ratepayer inquiries at the front desk and at the frontline telephone services and internet and. So, again, happy to provide that information. I believe $800,000 in the context of what was a multi-million dollar program, which was halted by my administration, is quite reasonable.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Does Councillor Davidson wish to close?
I will close, Lord Mayor. This, remember, is also part of that reorganisation which we all signed off on. So, you know, that focus is the customer service, the, you know, the hub for the call centre, etc. So I think I'm comfortable. If we want further information as regards, you know, the look of it, obviously the CEO will provide quite happily. Thank you.
OK, I'm going to put that to the vote. All in favour? That's everybody, all against. Sorry, it's everyone except Councillor Green and Councillor Harley. Item 13.17, encroachment easement.
Move, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Davidson. Seconded, Councillor Harley. Do you wish to speak? I'm going to put that. All in favour? Carried unanimously. 13.18.
Lord Mayor, I'd like to move an alternate motion to 13.18.
Okay, Councillor Harley, you had flagged that with us. Please proceed.
Thank you. As described via email on the 25th of August, I'd like to propose an alternate motion that I'm sure has been read by all councillors, but for the benefit of the audience and for the audio, I'll quickly read it out. The alternate motion is that the council receives and notes the petition requesting the allowance of free 30-minute parking in Royal Street, East Perth. Two, notes that the city's on-street parking machines do not currently have the capability to deliver a free parking period. Three, notes that the city is currently going through a tender process to acquire a new standard machine which will have this capability. Four, notes that the city is developing a plan to manage the impact on parking amenity in the East Perth precinct from the Perth Stadium over the next 3 months. And five, initiate a 6-month bracket first 30-minute free and bracket trial for the Royal Street precinct in East Perth to commence once these newly acquired machines are installed, with the findings to be reported back to council. I need a seconder. Thank you,
Lord Mayor. Thank you. And just to note that Councillor Adamos has left the chamber. Okay, so that alternative motion has been moved by Councillor Hulley and read out by him. Is there a seconder?
Why did Councillor Adamos leave the chamber?
He declared an interest, a proximity interest for property ownership.
I'll second
the beginning
the motion.
Of the meeting? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you're seconding it? Okay. Right.
Ask a question?
Yes.
Yeah. So that is not effective immediately. That is beginning in 2018. Yep. Correct?
The understanding, as it's described in the report, is that the city is going through a tender process for new machines. Those machines should be received and perhaps installed around February 2018. So the motion, just in case there are any hiccups in the delivery of those machines or the timelines, is calling for the trial to commence once those new machines are installed, which the administration informed us is February 2018, roughly.
Thank you.
Okay. So, does anyone else wish to speak on the alternative motion before us?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'd like to speak to the substantive motion quickly. Thank you. So, we've received a very substantial petition. Mr. Mallor in the audience has asked whether or not they've been verified. I don't believe officers have sat through and verified every single signature, but it is certainly an indication of widespread community support. That petition actually was put together in a very short space of time, and I've been contacted by many business owners and residents since who said they'd love to sign a petition. They didn't even know it was there. It was in and out so quickly. Today I met with two business owners who run La Bella Boutique on Royal Street. They've been there for 14 years and they've been trying for all of that time, or for all of the time that parking fees have been imposed on the street, to see a loosening up of the parking. It's their view that the parking restrictions do substantially impact on their business, particularly for the short visits, like, you know, for example, picking up an item of clothing that's been previously purchased, or the pharmacy down the road, the Green Cross Pharmacy, picking up a prescription, the East Perth IGA, you know, running in and doing a quick shop, or picking up trips and food that's been ordered. Those kinds of small trips are currently discouraged because of the $2 minimum fee that we as a council imposed a few years ago. I think that at the time we probably thought that we were doing the right thing. I've since had second thoughts about that. I think that that $2 minimum has imposed quite a substantial impact on the local businesses of the city, particularly in East Perth and West Perth, Royal Street and Hay Street. I think that people can understand in the CBD that you're not going to get free parking in the CBD. You don't get free parking in most CBDs around the world. But the Royal Street precinct in East Perth and the West Perth Hay Street precinct are, I'd say quite a large proportion of the customers there, particularly on the weekends, are locals. And I just don't feel that it's right that we should be, in essence, disincentivising locals to shop locally. I've spoken to many residents who opt to leave the city and spend their dollars elsewhere. Leadable, 1 hour free parking, Subiaco, I think it's 3 hours free parking now, Victoria Park as well. So it is actually easier for someone to drive, 3 or 4 blocks out of the city or to quickly hop on the, Grand Farmer Freeway and leave the city than it is for them to shop locally. The other thing is that parking fees in particular, should be seen as a mechanism for us to manage a scarce resource. There's no scarcity of parking in Hay Street, West Perth on a Saturday afternoon. You can shoot a cannonball down the street and not hit anyone, and yet we still impose parking fees, and I just think that we are basically strangling those small businesses. So I would like to see, given that we are commissioning new machines, given that those machines do have the technological capability to provide a 30-minute free parking system, I'd like to see us trial it. I'm not suggesting that it be permanent. I'm not suggesting that it be citywide. I certainly don't think there's any expectation of free parking in the CBD, but I think that we should be looking at our kind of outer precincts, in particular those what you'd call urban villages of Royal Street, Hay Street, West Perth, and down in the new Crawley precinct, to ensure that locals aren't penalised for shopping locally. So with that, I'd encourage councillors to support my motion, which I believe is well supported by the community and will be very, very well received by those local business owners if you choose to support it. Thanks.
Okay, does anyone else?
Yes, Lord Mayor.
Okay, Councillor McAvoy.
Councillor Harley, this is really an attempt at a goal from well behind the 50-metre mark. Not only have you appeared to have taken Councillor Lindos's same type of thing and run with it, and you're trying to get it to Council to approve something ahead of the September caretaker period and starting next February, I find that very opportunistic. The continual attempts to give away free parking have to stop. I am also seeking re-election, but let's all be responsible decision makers and consider the facts. You speak of the difficulty of stakeholders and reference an unverified petition, but look at Beaufort Street, Mount Lawley. I go out there quite often. I've never found a park on the street in Mount Lawley, and the same as in Leadville. You've got to go into the car park, you pay for it. But there's no street parking. I'm not saying that East Perth isn't as busy as those two areas, but it's the same procedure. They don't have free parking on them. And of course, Leadville and Beaufort Street too don't have the impediment of the Perth parking levy, so they could probably do all that they want. We've got to keep this in mind too. It costs us $1,000 a bay for every bay, and then we're going to... let's just say we were to go ahead with this and reduce revenue on the streets of East Perth and Hay Street and West Perth, and for that matter, other streets, there's other precincts that might like it too as well. It would immediately cease to earn revenue, but up the increased employment of the parking inspectors, because they would have to be monitoring these cars to make sure they weren't staying longer than the hour. But I'm just very wary about it. As it's the second time it's come around, I am concerned about it. And as I say, there's other parts that would like it too.
Okay, thank you, Councillor McAvoy. I see Councillor Limnios is like next.
Okay. Yes, it is true that I am an advocate for creating efficient and cost-effective shopper parking for our precincts, such as, and I did bring the motion forward a few months ago, such as Royal Street, Hay Street, parts of Northbridge, etc. I've been having conversations, like my councillor colleague Harley, with the actual people that are affected in Royal Street, and there's approximately 55 shops in Royal Street, of which 20 are vacant and 5 of them are on life support. So they are not being, they're not paying rent, and they're trying to keep their doors open, and you've got particular landlords that are protecting these tenants and trying to help them there. If you take the 35% with the 20 shops, we're talking roughly about 45% of the Royal Street strip is vacant. So when you go there at lunchtime, when you go there of an evening, it's very dark and there's no activation, and that whole precinct was supposed to be, from the original plans, a place of activation and encouraging alfresco and encouraging all of that. These people can't afford alfresco. That's how bad their trade is. They can't afford the fees that we're proposing. They can't afford the renovation to create the alfresco. I think that we have to understand as a council that there are certain things that we have within our power to help the small business person. And if we choke them, they won't be there to pay us the rates, nor will they be there to attract the customer to pay the $2 minimum fee. And we won't be getting anything. So we'll have 100% of nothing. That's what we'll have. Whereas now we can reduce our revenues slightly. We can take a hit as well, maybe create some efficiencies in other areas of operation, and look at helping our small business person and retailer that is struggling and doing it tough. As one of those small business people and having been brought up in that environment, I understand what it's like to have an uncertain income. And I know what it's like to have to try and make ends meet without having the luxury of a well-paid position or a job in some government department or whatever it is. So I know what it's like having to reduce your costs, having to go without to make wages for your staff and survive. And if we help these people survive, they'll be able to go through this period of time, and then we'll be able to get their rates, continue to get their rates, their businesses will flourish, they will keep employing people. The feeling, the overall feeling and ambience of our capital city will remain vibrant rather than a ghost town. We've already got this huge competition. It was all over the newspapers on the weekend. $5 billion worth of upgrades, and they are becoming entertainment precincts. Retailing is their secondary focus. Where they are making their money now is through food and beverage, and that is where they are putting their whole focus. I was, like some others here, at the soil turning of the Rain Square development. And talking with the proponents of Rain Square, what they're going to be doing on the weekend, they've got an agreement with their car park operators, is to offer some free initial car parking, the first hour or something free, and heavily incentivised parking for people to come and support their cinemas and their retailers in there. Right? So it's a serious thing. It's a serious issue. We need to work with the small person, the small business operator, the retailer. We need to work on issues that are within our control.
I've heard everybody talk about the parking levy. That parking levy is paid for by those people as well. Those people that are those small business people and those retailers, they pay it as well on behalf of the landlord as part of their outgoings. So they are being choked from that as well. Now, if we're taking away their patronage, how are they going to survive? I know of two retailers right now that are being courted by Westfields. Right, and they are going to lock up shop and they are going to go there. And I know of another food and beverage entertainment group that is quite large here that is slowly divesting out of our city and moving into these big centres. We can't, and I've said this before, we can't sit here in our Eiffel Tower and make decisions with a flick of a pen that potentially ruin futures of families and ruin futures of the future of our capital city. We're in an unprecedented economic downturn. It's within our power to do so. We need to act on this and we need to act on it fast. And quite frankly, if the best we can get is the potential to reduce it in 2018 because we don't have any technology to support it, but all our neighbouring councils do, well, so be it. I'll support it. But as I said on social media to you, this is something that has to happen now, not tomorrow. So with those words, I would like to end it by saying please support our city and our small business people. Thank you.
Okay.
Can I have
Councillor Chan?
Yes. Lord Mayor, and I agree with all the, you know, the passion and the sympathy and the requests of the local, our residents. But we have to know we need to do properly, professionally, and then if something impossible, we cannot do it because of the technology. And then we have to tell the residents that is the case. And on another note, the economy is so bad, it's not all the local council or city person to blame, the only government to blame. So the population is the problem. And if every month we shut off over 600 people and leave this state, left this state of other states, so we needed to ask why. So the policies of the state government is critical. And the local government, we only can do so much. So, and we needed to find the reasons. No population, no business. Okay? You wanted to give the local residents and the local business owners a business. You don't have people. Mm. We short of people. This is a key reason why the economy is so bad. It's not only free parking. Free parking probably is a little bit part of that. We have so we there are so many years we always charge the parking fee, and why people only now urgently want, and is we are every month we got people leaving this state. This is the city person's fault? No, this is the state government's fault. So we have no evidence. The parking fee is the only major factor for our businesses to shut their shops. Mm. So that is a critical thing. Have you read the WA Today, yesterday, the article? How many international students went to other states? Every one single overseas student brings 5 visitors. And then we are losing more than billions of dollars from April to now. Okay? So this is the March election now. How many people we lost. So if you read the article, you know the major reason why the economy is so bad. It's not a free parking, and it is the population. Okay, you wanted to give the jobs to local businesses. Actually, you do just the opposite. So we have to ask a question to the state government why. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else wishing to speak to this item that hasn't spoken? Councillor Green.
Yes, I'd just like to acknowledge Councillor Harley for listening to the ratepayers and responding to the petition that they put forth. I know it was quite a long time ago, and I'd just like to acknowledge you for taking this and running with it. I don't necessarily sense that much support for it in the room, which I think is disappointing, but I think that it's an idea that has merit, and you've obviously put a lot of thought into it in concert with the administration, so well done on putting together a proposal that I think is very, very sound and sensible and workable, and I think we do need to do something. So many of these proposals regarding parking have come to council, and unfortunately there seems to be a pattern of them being rejected, which basically means that as a council we don't have any response to this issue. There are factors that are out of our control, economic factors, decisions made by other levels of government, but there are things that we can do, and this is one of the things that is within our control and remit. And it's something that would make a difference. So for that reason, I will definitely be supporting it.
Okay, Councillor.
If there are
Councillor
no others,
Yong,
I'd like.
Sorry, Councillor Yong.
Yeah, Lord Mayor, I don't agree with Councillor Chen's argument about the flowing of the population going to Eastern States, cancellation of the Visa 187 by the state government since they've been elected. So all the population has been flowing over to Eastern State, even to Tasmania and Adelaide. And we have heard from the manager of the waterfront bar, and they even appreciate that the attendance will not be enhanced by just giving half an hour free parking. By putting more onus and burden on the ratepayer and to provide free parking is very irresponsible, I think. And it's not good, very good future-proofing for our operation. And in fact, I think our rates are currently still very competitive. What we are appreciating, what hamstring us right now, is the Perth parking levy. The parking levy in a decreasing income revenue and increasing cost climate. And I echo with councillors McAvoy's view that we should not, at this council, this current term of council, should not be making a decision that the council in 2018, which is post this October election, the election that we should be making the decision. Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Okay. I'm going to make a couple of comments and then you can close. Just to go back to a couple of points that have been made. No one has mentioned the stadium, which opens in early 18, and the impact that is going to occur in East Perth. And yet, interestingly, tonight we are talking about approving potentially a motion tonight, August 2017, for February 2018, ahead of the stadium opening in about, what, February, March 18, as though we know everything as crystal ball gazers. I find that quite incredible and a little bit presumptuous that this council would actually look at doing something that far ahead. We can do it after we see what the impact is like from the stadium. I understand it's also reliant on the new parking machinery that we have, because the current parking machinery isn't set up, for the benefits of those listening to the audio and those in the audience, to actually be able to give free parking. And so that is why it's being forecast ahead. Councillor Green spoke about, you know, patterns. Yeah, you're right, there is a pattern here, and this issue comes up ahead of every election for the last four elections. I actually think that it isn't easy saying no to free parking. It's a certain, it has a certain appeal to many people, but I think Councillor Yong makes a very good point about the fact that ultimately the cost of this will come back to the ratepayer. Whilst at the moment the parking revenue is good, parking revenue is declining at the City of Perth, and it will continue to decline as we see more car sharing, the ever presence of Uber and other services coming into play. We need to be very mindful of the fact with the parking levy that the parking revenue is not the profitable chestnut that it used to be for the City of Perth. I also think it's very relevant to note that this is, speaking 6 months ahead of what we want to do. I just find the timing fascinating. The machinery is coming in next year. Let's wait until next year arrives. The council then can review it based on how the trends and the foot flow is looking from the stadium and the parking of the use of the stadium. I do think this is, I think it was Councillor McAvoy that suggested it was a little opportunistic. I'm sure you'll make all your comments in closing, but I couldn't be remiss of pointing out the patterns that have been apparent to me. Thank you. Close.
Thank you. Lord Mayor, shock, horror that we would make a decision 6 months ahead. Wow, what a shock that would be, that we as a council would actually make a decision looking just 6 months ahead, and how far away that is, that we can't see into the future and predict what the impacts of things
point
might
of
be.
Order.
You mentioned...
Point of order, Councillor Harley. You are speaking in a disparaging tone to my last comment. It might be expression, but I do read it as disparaging.
It is expression. If you read it as disparaging, I'm happy to withdraw it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Lord Mayor, you also noted that no one had discussed the Perth Stadium. In fact, dot point four of my motion notes that the city is developing a plan to manage the impact on parking amenity in East Perth Precinct from the Perth Stadium over the next 3 months. You cannot imagine that people will be utilising 30-minute free parking in order to go to the stadium. They won't make it there in time. They won't be able to walk there within 30 minutes. So I don't believe that there will be much of an impact. Councillor Young, who's probably spent almost this much in clothing expenses since he's been on the council...
Stay on the agenda item, and again, do not disparage your colleague.
Councillor Young was
withdraw
talking about
that comment.
I'm happy to withdraw the comment.
Okay.
Councillor Young was talking about, and these were figures provided to council just minutes before we went into the room by the CEO. $45,000, roughly, might be the impact of a six-month trial. We just spent $870,000 on refurbishments of council house.
Point of order. Again.
I'm talking about the cost of the impact of the decision.
We'll keep to the item.
Well, I am speaking about the item. I've found this conversation to be extremely frustrating, and the previous decisions of council colleagues in relation to this item. I would like to mention, Councillor Green said this was my idea. It's not my idea. It's not my idea at all. This was an idea, a petition that was put to us by the community. Didn't come out of my head, didn't come out of Councillor Linnaeus's head. Councillor Linnaeus has previously advocated strongly on this parking issue and has put previous motions to the council, and I applaud him for trying, as I am trying tonight. But it's not my idea. It's the idea of the community. And I encourage councillors, if they think this isn't going to have an impact, I encourage councillors tomorrow to go and walk up and down Royal Street. Please. I spent time on Royal Street today. I spoke to the owners of three businesses there. I would encourage you to go and tell them that this isn't going to have an impact on their business. Please do it. Because it absolutely will. I raised this item because I'm a member of the Finance and Administration Committee. The administration have put the item to us for consideration. At the Finance and Admin Committee, I proposed an amendment that was defeated, and I mentioned that I would be making an alternate recommendation tonight, as I am. And I've worked with the administration on that. $45,000. If this council cannot find $45,000 to support the retailers
Can
of Royal Street in East Perth, then I'm absolutely shocked at the way that
before
we're conducting
you finish,
our
sorry,
business.
Sorry, before you finish, can I ask a question?
You can't ask a question in a closing debate.
No,
he's closing. It's finished. Keep going.
Well, it's an estimated $45,000, assuming the 50% impact, but it's around that figure. Look, I just wanted to make a final point. Yes, our parking revenue is declining. Why? Less people are coming into the city. Shouldn't be news to anyone here. So if we want to encourage more people to come into the city and re-establish those patterns of behaviour, to change those patterns of behaviour from going to Westfield Carousel or going to Claremont Quarter or going to Karrinup for their shop, and instead choosing to come into the city, there are things that we can do as a council that aren't to do with international students and aren't to do with the macroeconomic picture, aren't to do with the price of coal or the price of iron ore. more, but within our remit as a local council, we are actually standing on the necks of local traders at the moment, and parking is having an impact. So I would encourage all councillors around this table, if you cannot find it in your heart to forego $45,000 of income to support the traders in Royal Street, then vote as you wish. But I do believe it's a responsible decision to make. Thank you.
Okay, that closes the debate. I'm putting Councillor Harley's alternative motion to the vote. So all in favour of Councillor Harley's motion? Okay, that's three. That's Limnios, Harley and Green. Against the motion will be the balance, which is Chen, Davidson, Scafidi, McAvoy and Yong. So it fails. We now go to the original motion. Councillor Davidson's moving the original motion.
Seconding,
Is there a seconder? Councillor Yong, do you wish to open the debate?
Yes, I would, Lord Mayor. I guess 4 points that I wish to emphasise. One, that the City of Perth has the impost of obviously the Perth parking levy, and we've just noted that, of course, this is to the value of $18 million. And
I didn't even notice that. Councillor Green has just left the chamber. Yeah, we'll note that for the audio. I didn't see it. Sorry. We all need to go. I've got an appointment that I'm already half an hour late for. Well, can you hang on? Fine. Councillor Limnios is going to the bathroom. Please continue.
So no one's going to listen
to... We still have a quorum.
My debate. Anyway, we have a quorum, so I will just emphasise again. 4 points. City of Perth has the impost of the Perth parking levy to the value of $18 million. And remember, we're not sure what state government will bring down in their September budget, whether that increase per bay will increase or not. So that is hovering over us at the moment. Two, if we play it out to other areas likely to be requested, and we've heard Hay Street, Northbridge, elsewhere, and we're likely to get those requests. Obviously, the 45, 90, whatever the figures that we have received are going to be plus, plus, plus if those others also play themselves out. Three, at the recent East Perth Summit, the East Perth people said up front that they didn't want free parking if their rates were going to be hiked any higher. And four, at this point in time, of course, we do not have the machines with us to instigate this. So there's a lot of evaluation, a lot of forward thinking needs to take place, and obviously it will come through again at the appropriate time. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Green has returned to the chamber. Anyone else wishing to speak?
Yes, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Chen.
Yeah, in relation to the original motion, I think that, when the new machine comes, and I not disagree for a trial of a short period of time, and then we needed to gather the data and say whether this is a major factor, the contributing factor to the patronage of those businesses.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Chen. Councillor Limnios returns to the chamber. Does anyone else wish to speak to this item? I thought you... Did you want to speak? No? Okay.
I can fill in for you.
No, you don't need to fill in. I'm late enough.
I was just... a bit of an example of free parking was many years ago in Northbridge, when I think it's all paid now, but of course when it was free, of course every restaurant worker, every bar worker, they all come in, they bring their cars in droves at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, fill up all the parking spaces, so none of the customers that came to go to the restaurants could do that, but there was never a park left in Northbridge, and that was a bit different. It was a longer time too.
Yeah.
I think we woke up to that fairly quickly, and we now have paid parking.
I just had a question for Councillor Harley. Councillor Harley, you speak a lot about your concerns for West Perth. Why didn't you include West Perth in this item this evening?
Baby steps. That's why. It's too hard to get any good ideas through the council, so I thought I'd try one small step that I thought that the majority of councillors would support, given that we've received 1,100 signatures on a petition.
Okay, so I'll just speak now ahead of closing. Unverified...
Lord Mayor, I'm just flagging I'd like to speak to the substantive motion before closing, as okay. I haven't spoken yet.
Okay, please go ahead. From the Chair, I won't obstruct you.
Thank you. Obviously, greatly disappointed that the alternative motion has lapsed. There are a couple of comments before. Councillor McAvoy, of course, the trial or the situation that you're referring to in Northbridge was for a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if people had first 30 minutes free, they wouldn't be then going off to do an eight-hour shift at a bar. So it's not a comparable... Yeah, so it's not a comparable scenario. The 30 minutes free, what it does is it provides for a quick turnover. So it means that you're encouraging quick visitation, mainly of local people, to come in, drop in, spend their money and leave, and then those bays become free again. I'm not in favour of the motion as it's presented. I do believe that we as a council should be able to make decisions 6 months hence. We obviously do annual budgets. We make long-term decisions about other things, but it seems that we find whatever excuse we can to not support something if we don't want to. There's no question, Councillor Davidson, that a $45,000 expenditure in a six-month period of time would have any impact on rates whatsoever. It's just a red herring, actually, that concept. Obviously, if it was to be free parking in the city all the time, obviously that would have an impact, but that's not what's suggested. It's just key precincts. It's just a small amount of time, and it's a very minimal impact. So with that, I'd like to close my comment.
Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak? Okay, I'll make a few comments. I actually think that there's, discussion there that could really be, critiqued. Quick turnover and local people. You yourself spoke about the urban village. Urban village actually harks to the fact that most people using the local shops would be on foot, and a lot of people do, and that is why a lot of the businesses have oriented to the local community and are doing well. I do think that the 6 months hence decision is really unfair and very disparaging to the councillors, because the reality is we know that the stadium is going to have a huge impact on East Perth. Why should we be forecasting something now we can't have a feel for? And as I say, it really does come across as opportunistic to be looking at this ahead of an October date to try and get something there that's going to be seen as a freebie. The reality is every one of the councillors around this table would love to give free parking and reduce costs to the users, but we have to be mindful of the costs to bear on us, which is the Perth parking levy, which is the cost to the ratepayer, the need to keep rates at a low level, and obviously there has been some expressed concerns about GRVs and the impact on rates this year. It takes quite a lot of... courage, I think, to be a councillor that can say no in the face of an election. I'm not up for election, just to remind those who might be wondering, but I do think it does take a lot of courage to be able to say no to things that to the outside person look like a very nice idea. Mm-hmm. And so I do think it's been an interesting debate, and I'll now let Councillor Davidson close it.
Yes, a short reply, Lord Mayor. I've laid out my 4 points and I won't defend them any further.
Okay, that puts it. So we're now putting the original motion before us. So could you please vote in favour of the original, which is Chen, Davidson, Scafidi, McAvoy and Yong, which means it's carried, and I presume against, a show of hands, please, will be Green, Limnios and Harley. Okay, 1319 is motorcycle parking on footpaths. Is there a mover, please?
Move, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Davidson, seconder.
Seconder.
Councillor Chen, do you wish to discuss this item? Councillor Adamos is returning to the chamber. Do you wish to discuss the item? No. Anyone wish to discuss this item?
Yes, Lord Mayor.
Okay,
I wanted
Councillor
to discuss
Harley.
The item about motorcycle parking on footpaths. I'm very supportive of the concept that the city would look across the city and identify locations where additional motorcycle parking could be provided. If councillors wanted to join me in, you know, 9 a.m. down at the motorcycle parking under Mounts Bay Road, Councillor Green and I recently visited together and had a look. Completely full, and full every single day. And then, you know, other motorcycle parking available throughout the city, for example, on Stirling Street, I always see it's full, never see empty bays. We have to grapple with the fact that Uber Eats and other, you know, Deliveroo and other kinds of delivery transport systems are encouraging the use of scooters and motorcycles, and that we will see an increase in that as those kinds of you know, food options take hold. And we haven't yet caught up and accommodated that additional parking. If you look at the city of Melbourne, and you know, we like to go, oh well, too hard, you know, too hard. Our footpaths are perhaps too narrow. When you look at the Esplanade, when you look at, you know, huge precincts of the city, Hay Street, other very significant large streets, boulevards in the city, there is plenty of space in particular precincts where we could accommodate additional parking. The City of Melbourne puts a, you know, common sense set of rules around the use of parking, and it's a, I think, you know, a very well-loved and unique strategy to City of Melbourne. When people are bringing in motorbikes, they're taking up much less space than cars, so you're able to get more people into the city and accommodate those vehicles in a much more efficient use of space. So, you know, I think that what we've seen here from the administration is an undertaking to do some further investigation into identifying certain areas within the city that we could perhaps designate. I think there's still an unresolved question as to whether or not we would be liable to pay the Perth parking levy. I just don't believe that. If you look at Melbourne, there's no way that the state, you know, state government in Melbourne would be running around and counting the number of vehicles. I don't think the state treasury would be running around counting the number of motorcycles. I'm not yet convinced that we would need to actually designate them as bays and report them as bays if it was indeed to be parking on footpaths rather than allocating them as designated bays. So I think that we should think laterally. There are perhaps some ways that we can get around the Perth parking levy, not having to pay them, pay the money, if we can look at footpaths in certain designated areas. Obviously, where the streets are narrow, you know, the rule should indicate that parking is not allowable in those locations. But where there are wide boulevards, and perhaps we could choose a street or a couple of streets and a couple of precincts, it would be a great help to all of those motorcycle and scooter drivers who at the moment have a very long way to walk if they're parking under the Kwinana Freeway along Mounts Bay Road. Thanks.
Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak to this item? Yes. Councillor Green.
I put this motion to council after receiving quite a lot of requests from motorcycle riders that they would like to be able to park more easily in the city, and that the bays that were provided for them were insufficient in both in number but also in terms of their location. So it would add quite a lot of overhead to their day and having to park where the bays are when they might be undertaking activities at another part of the city. It really is creating what's called the last mile problem in transport, where the last bit of your journey ends up being the longest bit, even though it's the shortest distance. And a few bits in this report which contradict each other, and I just wanted to highlight them for the attention of the council and the people visiting. The first thing is that there's a orientation and preference given to people as a part of our transport strategy, people first, and it suggests that as a result of that, that we couldn't accommodate motorcyclists, which I found to be a little bit staggering, given also that an alternative which is suggested in here, which proposes to convert car parking bays to motorcycle bays, is not desirable because it would impact the City of Perth parking income. So rather than people first, it appears to be revenue first, driving the agenda in terms of that as an alternative. The motion that I proposed was to allow motorcycles to be on the footpath, which wouldn't cause a commensurate decline in parking revenue. And it was proposed to be a trial to see if it worked, and also to get the information and feedback around what places it really worked and where it didn't, to sort of refine and define a policy. So it was really to assist in us in getting good quality information and move from assertion, which we seem to be sitting inside of in this proposal, to argument based on fact, based on feedback. It's very disappointing to see that it can be done. There's evidence of it being done successfully in other parts of Australia, and yet we're proposing to delay it, and the rationale is that we want to wait to see what happens with CityLink and the Perth Stadium. It's not as though we were proposing anything that was fixed, and the city's, you know, constantly in a state of flux and growth and expansion, and so any policy needs to take account of infrastructure additions or changes that are occurring in a city. So I just don't think that they are really, really justified reasons to delay trying something, and it actually might provide us with, you know, better quality and more longitudinal information with which to inform our policy decisions. The other thing which I found quite troubling, actually, in this is that the officers of these transport and parking units have received few complaints regarding the number of motorcycle bays available. This is actually manifestly untrue. I know that because I was CC'd on dozens and dozens and dozens of emails to the administration complaining on the situation as it is, and requesting that it be altered. And I find it quite concerning that this statement has found its way in there, particularly because the director responsible for this wrote back to them and told them to stop contacting her and to just direct the correspondence solely to elected members. And so it seems to me that the administration has not wanted to know what's going on and what the preferences are of motorcyclists. And if that were the case, it would mean that regardless of what their preferences were, the position would be the same. So I am really quite disappointed with the report and the suggestion that we have to wait to trial anything yet again. And I would like to apologise to the motorcycle riders of Perth that we don't seem to be able to respond to your needs.
Okay. I don't think you need to.
Through the chair, I'd just like to offer clarification. The council has pointed to a contradiction within the report, I believe, referring on page 264 to the people first strategy, and contending that that is in conflict with some of the recommendations included in the report itself. I think, just to clarify, the people first comment is around the hierarchy in terms of the public spaces and places and roads in the city, which creates a hierarchy from pedestrians through to vehicles. So the idea, concept being presented in the report is that it's people on foot who are given priority in the space, and it may not be, I accept it might be, it requires some explanation, but the concept obviously behind that is that footpaths and public spaces for pedestrians are the priority space. So that's the context provided there. I also would ask the councillor, she's made a comment on the record, if you could provide to me those emails and the ones referred to, I will look into that.
CEO, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Thank you. A question on the standing orders. Is it your understanding that councillors are able to text one another during the course of a council debate?
Who's texting?
I would assume it depends what's in the text. I think it's up to the individual councillor to pay attention or otherwise, or leave the chamber or as you will.
Thank you. Well, just a statement. I saw that Councillor McAvoy just received a text message that said Lisa Scafidi, LM, and she read that message and then put her food. Okay, well, if Councillor McAvoy would like to disprove me, she could show the CEO perhaps about the text message that was just received, but I do believe this is a pattern of behaviour. No, I do not use my phone during council meetings.
You've made your point. I'm following the bouncing ball, and other councillors around the table have also been texting tonight, so let's have an FOI on the texts. The continuation of the debate now will be, you've asked a question. Does anyone else wish to speak to this item? Okay, so I will make a comment just before closing. I do actually note the City of Melbourne have allowed this motorcycle parking on the footpaths. I hear anecdotally that they're not so thrilled with how it's playing out. I would also refer to Councillor Green's comment about people first, and I would have thought, given the narrowness of our footpaths in the city, that actually, if it was a people first policy, we would be more focused on the use of the footpaths for the pedestrians. I think, given that we have cycling on footpaths, to me is a real concern. I actually had to caution someone the other day who was riding down Barrack Street with earphones in their ears, which I know a lot of the young people do today, and was going down at a really high speed down Barrack Street amidst pedestrians. And I just don't understand that policy or local law either. So, you know, I think we need to revisit the whole thing. And I was the one that actually moved the motorcycle parking from memory back in 2010, which created the free motorcycle parking we now see down at Mounts Bay Road. And I have to say that it's well utilised, but, you know, I just think, again, this is a reaction to requests, and we have to be above just reacting to requests. I think we need to really just look at these items far more solidly. I'm happy to support the item tonight because actually the item is a further investigation type recommendation. Item 1 says waits till the stadium's complete, 3 is supporting further investigation, and 4 also supports investigation. Happy to go with it. Do think there are better issues that this council could be looking at. I'll leave it at that. Do you wish to close the debate, Councillor Davidson?
I so move the recommendation, Lord Mayor.
Okay. I'm going to put that. All in favour? Carried unanimously. Item.
Lord Mayor, I'm voting against. I don't support using Grand Lane as a loading bay, and I don't support waiting.
Sorry, can you just repeat that?
I'm voting against the item, Lord Mayor.
Okay, so, all right. Well, why don't you just wait till I call the vote? Okay, you vote. Okay, so everyone was in favour and you're against. I've got it. Okay, so 1320 is the next item. Wellington Square enhancement. Councillor Limnios is moving. Seconder. Come on, Councillor Chen. Do you wish to open the debate?
Yeah, this is a plan that has been put together through consultation with the various stakeholders. This is Wellington Square has been a hot topic for us for quite a few years, and I have met with the director, and she briefed me on this, and it's quite good. And there's some good outcomes here that still identify future-proofing the square for some other uses to adapt to other uses on the eastern side, on the eastern side of the oval. Look, generally, I feel that it's pretty well done.
Right, that's it. Okay.
Lord Mayor, thank you. Just like to, you know, draw members' attention to the community consultation spreadsheet. It's a great document. Some really good information in there. Some of the things I don't agree with. There's a recommendation by someone to demolish the toilets. That's been something we've talked about at length. But look, people do love Wellington Square, but they do believe that there's room for improvement, and I think that's acknowledged by everyone. And I'm really happy to see that we're proceeding with the strong consultation of locals. I think more than 200 people are responding to that survey, so that's quite good, given the number of residents in the area. So, yeah, supportive of this work and very keen to see what the outcomes will be.
Okay, anyone else wishing to speak? No, I'll put that all in favour. Carried unanimously. 1321 Rose Street in
Lord, Parliament. Move, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Limnios, seconder.
Seconding.
Councillor Chen, yeah. Do you wish to discuss it?
Just very quickly, we've had the benefit of a brief, again, in the Works Committee. This is about improving Rose Street and connecting Northbridge properly with a new link development. I think we discussed it at length on the evening. And the plans are very good, very effective, and I think that's going to become a little precinct in itself. It's going to be very, very good for Northbridge and very good for the link. So I'm supporting it. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Harley.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Just a quick question. Not sure if it's the CEO, Director of Planning, or Director of Construction on this one. But I have a question as to how Fitzgerald Street terminates at Rose Street. In particular, the cycle lane on the first page of the attachment, which is 13.21A, denotes that the bike lane terminates and then recommences. I just wanted to understand what happens on the southern end of Fitzgerald Street as it goes along Rose Street, because I wasn't of the understanding that there was going to be a road there, so I wonder why the bike lane doesn't go continuously.
Who's answering that? Director Barringer?
Indicated at 1.
Yeah, it's a diagram showing the path to treat.
Can you answer it, CEO?
Through the Chair, I can't answer that question without reference to the City Link with the remainder of the Crossrail arrangements there. I believe there's been some provision for connection of potential crossing, but we'd have to get back to you on the detail of that.
Sorry, CEO, there's a train line at the end of Fitzgerald Street at the moment, so I don't imagine there'll be a road going
through
the train
line. No, I'm assuming, through the Chair, as I've said, I'm unaware of the detail outside the red line, so we couldn't answer unequivocally here. I'd suggest, however, that it says it talks about tying to the existing principles shared pathway, so look, we can provide detail on that, but I can assure Council that we wouldn't be stopping a cycleway for no good reason and then starting it again.
Great.
So we'll take that comment on board and then provide the information.
Okay. All right. No other comments? We're going to put that all in favour. Carried unanimously. 13.22, a tender for tree maintenance services.
Move,
Councillor
Lord
Mayor. Councillor moving. Seconded. Councillor Adamos. Okay, I'm going to put that all in favour. Carried unanimously. Item 13.23, tender CCTV maintenance.
Move, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Limnios. Seconded. Councillor Adamos. All in favour. Carried unanimously. Item 13.24, this is a tender for the lease of Christmas decorations.
Move, Lord.
Second, Lord Mayor.
Okay, so this is Councillor Limnios and Councillor Harley seconding. Do you wish to speak to this item?
No.
Lord Mayor, just a few comments. We've had some criticism from people recently about the Christmas decorations. Some people love them, some don't love them. Some think they're a bit too old school. They are a little bit tired, I'd have to say. I think this is a really good way to move forward. It means that we're not paying for continual storage. I think it was estimated $120,000 a year just to store the lights. So we're leasing them. It does come at a slightly higher cost annually. But we don't have to own them, we don't have to maintain them, we don't have to store them, and if we don't like them, we can get a new set the following year. So I think this is a much better outcome for us, provides the city with more flexibility. And if the people of Perth don't like the lights, tell us, and we can have a conversation with the contractor and maybe tailor them or take that feedback on notice. But yeah, I think this is probably a smarter way for us to manage into the future.
Okay, I will make a comment. I do note in this item that we are giving authority to the Chief Executive Officer to handle this moving forward. But I actually would like to say to the Chief Executive Officer on the record that I think the city requires a level of exclusivity given the size of the contract and given its central or capital city location. I think the point of reducing our costs in storage and our appreciation over the years with some of the compliments and or criticisms that have played out about how great they are or how poor they might appear appear, we need to still have some uniqueness by insisting to the successful tenderer that they need to give some consideration to this particular contract. It is a significant contract. It is the capital city, and I think they equally would want to certainly ensure that there is some special touches here. Do you wish to close the debate? Okay, I'm going to put that all in favour, carried unanimously. That was the last item, I believe, so that takes us back to the front of the agenda. Are there any notices of motion?
No, Lord Mayor.
Okay, any urgent business?
No, my Lord Mayor.
All right, that concludes the council meeting. Thank you all for your attendance and good night.